your clothes our cash. Let's trade. Shop smarter this year by bringing gently used styles into Uptown Cheapskate. We'll give you cash on the spot for your items. And you can even get 25% more cash when you choose in-store credit for payment. Shop your favorite brands like Free People, Vans, Nike, Lululemon, and Levi's for less. Shop smarter and dress sharper with Uptown Cheapskate. Find your nearest Missouri location today.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of August. Whoa, boy, summer's flying by. 2022. Happens to be a Tuesday, too. And tonight, our producer extraordinaire is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And that legendary parson, none other than Pastor Joe Larson.
Legendary is probably a bad choice of words, but anyway, your humble assistant is here ready to go to work.
All right, very good. Let's get her done then. The title of the message... Okay, do you remember the title of the message? Let's check here.
The title of the message, The Unholy Confederacy, The Apostate Church, and the Corrupt Government.
All right, boy, you got it. That's what we're talking about.
Got a tongue twisted there.
Yep. Well, we're going to pick it up where we left off in Romans chapter 16. And would you want to read verses 17 through 20?
17 through 20. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil.
One more.
20, yeah. And the God of peace shall, bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen, amen. So here. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Okay, so, and then avoid them, avoid them. Well, he's telling you to avoid them. Why would you want to avoid them? Because of argument. You don't want to waste time arguing with these people that are telling you what you know is contrary to what the Bible teaches.
Right, to the Word of God. Don't waste your time arguing with them. You're not going to win. You're not going to change their minds, and you will just waste your own valuable time.
Yeah, but come on, Joe. These are not issues of salvation. Look, Joe, here, for example, if you're not circumcised, you know you're supposed to be circumcised, and you know that if you don't worship on the seventh day, Sabbath, then you're not saved, right?
No. I don't know that if you're not circumcised. I didn't read that in Jesus' doctrine.
Okay. Let's go over to Colossians chapter 2 for a minute here. And let me just read, starting with verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which they have not seen, vainly puffed up with a fleshly mind. So here now, we know that we are free to worship on any day we want. Now, we choose Sunday, but some of us, for a while, I was pastoring two churches at once for a while, and sometimes we'd have a Saturday service because we were free to have whatever, Saturday or Sunday. But there are those that teach that if you don't worship on Saturday, then you're not keeping the Sabbath. But that's not what the Apostle Paul said. You think he knows a lot about that? No. Why do you think it is that we for the most part, worship on Sunday?
Well, it was the day that Christ rose from the dead and the day that he first made himself, known that he was risen. So that is our day. But like those of us who were in the military, there were times we were working, fighting on a Sunday and had no choice. And it was a marvelous thing to be able to go and have prayer or a service on another day.
Let me go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, there are those that are teaching that the Sunday worship was started by the Roman Catholic Church. Well, that's kind of hard to believe because in 1 Corinthians 16, that was written way back in the first century, about
right,
90
before,
something.
Before there was a Roman church, right?
Yeah, well, this was back in about 90 something A.D.
A.D., yeah.
When and the Roman Catholic Church didn't come into existence until 314. Okay, so this was a couple hundred years prior to the Roman Catholic Church. So here now, let's read what he says. Now, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store, in other words, tithe, as God has prospered him, so that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever shall approve you by letters, let them send you and bring liberally into Jerusalem. Now, so what day of the week is it that we tithe?
Sunday.
On the first day of the week.
First day of the week.
And so here it's referred to, if we go over, in fact, as you start out in the book of Revelation, he's referring to the Lord's Day. It was on the Lord's Day. And what day is the Lord's Day? Well, the day that Christ arose, the first day of the week, huh?
Right, first day.
And so here, let me see. But anyhow, let me see what he says. It was on the Lord's Day that when he saw this vision. But anyhow, so now, what about? Shouldn't we abstain from eating pork or shellfish?
Yeah, well, it was verse 10 in Revelation 1. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. Yeah.
So okay. when going back here, when we say, Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or so now. I mean, but you're told that if you eat pork, you're going to hell. There are people that bring these doctrines into the church. Now, look, the Bible says you're free to eat. We're free to eat as long as it's what? Sanctified in prayer, huh?
Right.
Okay.
Everything is sanctified by prayer.
And so now we know this. I mean, is this something that we're going to spend any time arguing with? If we go over, in fact, over, say, let's just say to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, in chapter 4, we read this, okay? Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in later times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, doctrines of devils.
Devils, right.
Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
The truth, yeah.
For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Now, after saying that, I try to buy my meat and stuff from the Amish out there most of the time, because we know the society in which we're living. We know that the things that so much, how toxic so much it is out there. We know what all of these vaccines and everything that they give to the animals. We see now
coloring to the meat, and they add chemicals to keep it fresh, and the Amish don't do any of that.
Well, we see now the FBI is going after the Amish.
Oh, yeah, we've got to do that story tonight. But that's why out here most people I know eat farm-raised beef, and we all know our neighbors, and we know who's raising, what they feed, what they give for medications or don't give, and very few people really want to trust the government meat inspectors in the government system.
So what if I tell you, well, now, Pastor Sanders, I know what you believe about women pastors, but
that's what God believes.
I've been
you and I. It's not a case of what we believe. It's what God says, and His Word is what we go by.
Right. We're not, you know, in Salem here. We're not allowed to say anything negative about somebody else's broadcasting on the station,
right?
And unless it's a major news story or something, or you're affected directly. A few years back, in fact, there was a woman pastor. She pastored a church, and she was on the Salem Network, and she happened to be in my studio. She happened to be in the studio where I was, and the amazing thing was she had her assistant with her look just like her. You couldn't hardly tell the two of them apart. And so, in fact, I couldn't. I got them confused, and what happened was they were standing out there listening to the broadcast. So I invited them into the studio, and they said no. And this is when I didn't know who they were. I had never met them before. And so the one lady says to me, "Well, now, Pastor, I know that you don't believe to women pastors, but, you know, we do." And I said, "You do?" And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "I tell you what, why don't we discuss that? Why don't you come in and sit in with me, and we'll kind of have a little debate on that." And the response was, oh no, I'm not. We're not going to debate you." Now, was it because I'm such a wonderful debater, or was it because once I opened the Word of God right over here to 1 Timothy,
they didn't want to debate God, right? That's exactly what it was, because you would use His Word, and they're not going to argue with God.
Right. So we go, I just take it, and I say, how do you argue with that? Well, they can't. They know that, and that's why. What about if you don't speak in tongues? If you don't speak in tongues, you can't be saved.
Oh, that's not in the gospel.
Is the tongues as corporately as that for today?
No. It was in the time it was used at the time, and the only real big example that they give that tongues was used is when the apostles spoke in their own tongue, and everyone in the audience heard in his own tongue. That was the true speaking in tongues, whether you were, no matter what race or town or country you came from, you heard the gospel in your own tongue. And then the others, it says, and there needs to be an interpreter. I have yet to hear anybody speak in tongues with an interpreter who could say what they were saying.
Well, let me ask you this. You're talking about in Acts 2 where it talks about there were 15 known dialects. They were speaking from 15 different regions. But they were known dialects. They were known. They weren't gibberish. And like,
no, I could tell. I may not speak French well, but I can tell French, and I can tell German, and you know, I can tell Spanish, or you know, some of the other languages. It doesn't mean I can speak them, but I can know that they're speaking that.
And I remember this lady, and she was a wonderful little lady. I loved her, but she got caught up in that, and she would start speaking, and it was gibberish, but she thought she was speaking, and she would go chit 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 chit, and then they would normally end, and it was kind of funny, because one day she come up and she started doing that, and she was doing the chit 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 chit. And so, remember, did you ever watch The Three Stooges, Larry, Curly, and Moe?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't help myself. I had to do a Curly impression. Yeah, you know. But
we must be very, very old, because there's probably a huge number out there of our listeners that go, the three what's?
But, yeah.
We've dated ourselves right there.
Yep. Well, you know, Joe, you know, I've preached in several Pentecostal churches where pastors were friends of mine, and they asked me to come and especially preach on either biblical law or the pro-life movement. And so, when you're there, if there were 10 people speaking in tongues, 8 of them would be women. They would be women. Now, yeah. In the Bible, the only people that are told expressly not to speak in tongues are the women. And yet you go in there, and that's who you see speaking in tongues.
Speaking in tongues, yep.
It tells you if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three, or mostly by three. Then it says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself, okay. But then it says,
speak to himself.
Now. Then it goes on and says, here, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophecies, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. Now listen, he's talking about speaking in tongues. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, that they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for the woman to speak in the church. He's not saying that the women can't talk while they're in the church, that they can't say anything. He's talking about speaking in tongues. They're specifically speaking. And then he's telling them also that when, you know, don't get into it if you want to find out. Once you get home, ask your husband what was going on. What was that all about? But you see, now listen. If you say, okay, look, I'm going to abide by the passages of Scripture that I agree with, but the passages that I don't agree with, I'm just going to try to ignore. But what the Apostle Paul is telling us here in Romans 16 is. Not to even debate these things that are so obvious. In other words, doctrines where the Bible is very, very clear. It doesn't stutter on any of these things. It doesn't leave any area for doubt.
Right.
And
good words and fair speeches. Do we hear a lot of that in this world? Good words and fair speeches that lead people astray. And you were mentioning that most of the time you heard somebody in tongues is women. Well, women's greatest weakness is discernment, and man's greatest weakness is pride. So that lack of discernment is why more women are trying to speak in tongues than men.
Well, that could be. And all right, let's go over to Acts chapter 20.
Okay.
In Acts chapter 20, read me verses 29 through 31. Well, start with 28.
Well, I know this.
No, start with verse 28.
28, okay. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears.
All right, here's so he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now, here you go. Well, first of all, to feed the church of God, we feed them with what?
The Word of God.
With the Word of God, okay.
And not with not food.
Right. In other words, not with our opinions, not with the way we think things should be, okay? But we don't tell them what they want to hear. We tell them what they need to hear.
We tell them what God says we are to tell them.
Okay. So we don't tickle their ears, right?
No.
Okay, so then he says, now listen to this, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, that what he's referring to is that if you are the flock, then you're saved. You're a born-again believer, and that salvation...
You really are. You are purchased from your sin debt, from death, by the very blood of Christ. You are bought and paid for.
Right.
You and I are bought and paid for.
So that makes... Well, let me ask you this. Elon Musk, could Elon Musk buy salvation?
No.
Well, they say he's the richest man in the world. He's not,
doesn't
by far.
If he was, it doesn't matter if they put all the richest men in the world together, they still couldn't make a down payment on salvation.
So
God
the blood...
doesn't care about their money. It's all his anyway.
So the blood of Christ, okay, is the exclusively by itself the most valuable quantity that ever existed, is it not?
Exactly. The rarest, most valuable. There is nothing like it, never will be again.
For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter into among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples from them.
Like Rick Warren. sorry, did I say that?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I did, and I meant it.
With a purpose-driven... the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven church, where he literally were teaching people to underhandedly, where he would go to, he would have those seminars.
The church to actually foment an internal revolution, right?
Well, he actually taught the people of the church that would come, who would want to become with him. If the church did not want to become one of his purpose-driven churches, he would tell them, find out, get the people in the church who you can trust, and then hold a meeting, but don't let the founders of the church, the people, the elders in the church, those that are, you know, that want to sing the hymns out of the hymn books, those that are not with the new movement, don't let them know. Have a meeting secretly and then vote them out. And this is what
sounds like an insurrection or a coup.
Yeah, well, that's what he was
supposed to run.
That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know we've had our wolves enough. I've had people that have tried to come on in and take over. I had a fellow who came in that I helped out. He had gotten himself in some trouble. He was a pastor at one time. He went to prison. He came out for credit card fraud. And anyhow, I had helped him out, and he was trying to undermine me in the church. And then I had a woman one time who had come to the church when I had been bitten by that brown recluse spider. In fact, I was bitten three times. And so I was taking a day or two off, and it just so happened to be she waited until I was not there on a Sunday, and she tried to convince the women that they should be speaking in tongues and things, and the ladies in our church threw her out. They told her to hit the bricks. They didn't want to hear it. So,
right.
But now, to this woman's credit, to her credit, she wrote me a letter, and she apologized for what she said. She said, what I did was wrong. I never should have done that, and I'm too embarrassed to come back to the church. But here's a donation, and she sent us of the church a very large donation, and she said, I hope this will try to make up some for the wrong that I did. So to her credit, she repented, okay?
That's unusual. That is wonderful, but it is not the norm.
We had another woman that tried to teach anti-Semitism, was bringing that in. We had a woman who was a gold digger, and she was coming in trying to find out what men in the church, and she was very subtle at the beginning, and until she got caught, what men in the church had that she would think had would have some money, and she was going to go after them. We had another guy that, you know, was the tracks. You know, we would have our tracks on our track table, and what would happen is people would say, did you see what's in that track? I said, yeah, I read the track. Said, no, take a look. Well, on the outside, it would be just like the tracks that we would have on the table, on the outside. On the inside, they had changed it. They printed up these other tracks, and it said that people that believed in the rapture of the church, or people that believed in once saved, you know, soteriology, once saved, always saved, also believed that we also believed in space aliens. They had this right inside this track. We were the same mindset. And so one day, I had forgotten something at the church, turned around, went back, and I caught the guy that was doing it. He was there. He was in there, and I caught him red-handed. Another time, we had a guy that was coming in preaching the replacement theology, okay, that we've replaced. There is no more Israel, very anti-Israel. And then another time, once Joe, we actually had a guy right in the middle of the service stand up, and he said that every woman in here that has makeup on, every woman that has makeup on, and every woman that's not wearing a dress, that's wearing, you know, like a pantsuit or whatever, are whores. This guy said this right in there. Every woman that doesn't have makeup, and, well, you know, we have a front door and a back door.
Yeah.
And this guy, he found his way to that back door, and he got kind of roughed up along the way because, you know, actually, we probably did him a favor keeping him away from the women, okay? but he was physically tossed out. And, you know, he goes right down the street to another church, goes in there, does the same thing. But they had, I guess, some off-duty police in there. And they held him until the sheriff's department came, and they arrested him and put him in jail. And we'll be...
Good. Yeah.
All right, we're coming up to a clip, and so we want to Pay close attention to this, and then we'll comment on it afterwards. So take it away.
Joined by the yesterday I had the handsome of the Hoff brothers. Today I got the brilliance of the Hoff brothers. They're twins, and it's a duo. I tease these two guys. I've known them forever. Joe Hoff, and Joe lived in Hong Kong. He knows CCP as well as anybody. Tell me about the books. You just got volume two of The Steel.
That's right.
Is this just crazy? Is this just crazy stuff, or is this real?
This is real, and this is coming from a certain perspective, my perspective about being a corporate international executive auditor that did 300 audits around the world, different countries, currencies, people, places, functions, fraud, financial, operational. I did all of this. And then I come back to the States. And actually, while I was overseas, Steve, you could see how they were just doing all they could to destroy Trump. And then I come back and I start writing for Jim.
You can see that, even overseas.
It's horrible. There's no good information overseas except for people that go to the net.
Yes.
And I think more and more people are going to the net because the mainstream and it's just a joke. It's toxic. And so anyways, if you're smart enough to do that, you could work your way through it. But I saw that, then I come here, and then I see this election. And I'm writing with Jim at the Gateway Pundit, and I was appalled and just shocked. And so what I tried to do here, the first book's about leading up to the election. The second book, that just came out this week, is here's what happened. So setting the stage and the impossible occurs. And I look at it from an auditing perspective.
You're saying from an auditing perspective, it was absolutely impossible for him to lose.
This is it. This my professional opinion, after doing this for years, is that there's no way on God's green earth that this election should have been certified.
Amen.
No way, period. If you don't like the word steal, fine.
Hang on. Joe Hoff's going to hang with a short commercial break. Okay, welcome back. We're here at the Moment of Truth Summit in Springfield, Missouri. Here's one thing I tell you, folks. The energy and spirit is unbelievable. MAGA is ascendant. Yesterday we went back and forth, Joe, all the candidates in Florida and in New York. We're going to have more of those tomorrow on the show as guys run through the tape for these huge primaries on Tuesday. But to see the state of the state and all 50 states, people, everybody's all tied in there, everybody tied together. It's just unbelievable. Once again, tell us, you're an auditor. Somebody told me to audit is a process that you're trying to affirm. You're trying to affirm the on the margins of whether it works or not. But what the 50 state guys are saying, we're not auditing. We're a criminal. We're in a crime scene investigation.
Yeah that's perfect.
You're an auditor. Is this about how they did it to you? Just a process that is actually a process that we should audit, or is it really a crime that was committed that we need to get to the bottom to? The certification of what you've said in volume two is uncertifiable.
Yeah, nothing was certifiable. From an auditing perspective, you'd look at people, places, processes, systems, and when you look at each one of those areas, it just doesn't make sense. Originally, you'd start off and say, what are the big high-level numbers? And we all know, the bellwether states, all these things that made no sense. In the first book here, I wrote about the rallies and how Trump had 1.1 million people at his rallies, and Biden had less than 2,000. And you're going to tell me that the guy with less than 2,000 people gets 81 million votes. Isn't it? It's in your face now. And so that's it. When you say, like, introducing this segment, America is Trump country. America voted for this guy in massive numbers. It was the biggest steal ever when you look at the numbers. So but the one thing that really grabbed me, and I really start off my book with this, is from all people, the guy who does Dilbert.
Yes.
Scott Adams, right?
Scott Adams.
He came out with a video about 1 month after the election. And we should play this sometime. Because he says, here's the deal. Nothing else matters. When they prevented us from going into these buildings and seeing what's going on, when they forcefully did that, when they threatened us, it was over. It was done. And he's so right, because from an auditing perspective, if I went into an entity and said, hey, I want to look at this, and they said no, it'd be done. You'd be over.
This is why I'm not a machine guy. I'm open to be converted, and I want to get rid of the machines and go back to paper ballots. But it was so obvious on the mail-in ballots and the no signature for verification, particularly in Pennsylvania. And now all the evidence we have.
Well, that's it. So we got with the, and I'll mention these couple items.
Yeah.
With the ballots, we don't know who signed them.
Yes.
Because they shut off the signature verification across the board in multiple states. And that, like in Arizona, they didn't do signature validations. And then when they did the audit, which is really a topic of another book, The Cover-Up, they didn't do signature validations.
Is Volume 3 going to be the cover-up?
Yeah, that's right.
We're breaking news here on Noble.
There you go. And we're going to destroy these people. But we don't know who they came from or where they came from. There's no chain of custody documentation on any of these things. They all should have been thrown out. You cannot make a decision on this stuff when it's been tainted. And all this stuff was tainted. The only solution that would have probably worked would have been, stop, we need to do over. This stuff is not verifiable. It's not certifiable. And that's my piece here. It's like, and you look at every area, and it's that way. Every single area.
Okay, so Joe is the co-editor right now of Gateway Pundit. How do they get the books?
Well, right now you can pick them up at Amazon or Barnes and Noble. And appreciate your support. I think this blue book. If you've got any naysayers out there, people who say, "Oh, it wasn't stolen." Give them this, because I do say it's the steal, but I say, chapter after chapter, it was never certifiable. Never certifiable.
Get it on Amazon? Where do they go?
Yeah, okay. Amazon. So thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All righty. We are back. And, Joe, this is what we said. Remember how many times we told you, look, folks, common sense tells you. You know, Trump is he's turning out 50, 60, 70,000 people at a rally. Biden's turning out 5 or 6 people at a rally. I think one rally for sure, he had like 12 people there.
There were like 12 cars. There was one where there was like 12 cars or something like that, with just a few vehicles in a lot. It was unreal.
Well, I know. And see, but the point of it is common sense tells you. And so, the fake news media, it's just how brazen they are with telling lies. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, that they've got no shame at all where it comes to, you know, and they insult the intelligence of the American people. But anyhow, just, you know, this thing with the, what happened to Mar-a-Lago. Now, I remember when that happened, the very day they were talking about that, and they were saying by the next day, Joe Biden was saying that he knew nothing of the raid. He didn't know anything about the raid at all. Well, that same day, President Trump, the real president of the United States, the real legitimate president, said no, that Biden was the one that ordered it. He's the one that ordered the raid. So now here's an article by John Solomon. And here he goes on to say that memos reveal Biden White House worked directly with the DOJ. And that's another dirty. I mean, Merrick Garland, Merrick Garland is a dirty cop. And I would have to say, he would be very, very hard-pressed. And I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not saying this to be nasty. I'm saying this because I've been monitoring the things he's been doing. He's been lying left and right, ordered the FBI to go and harass parents who cared about their children at school board meetings, going after conservative Christians. And this guy has got a vengeance. He was going to get even with Donald Trump and all of those that support Donald Trump, because he was rejected as far as being on the Supreme Court. Well, he was rejected because of his past voting record, and that's why. But he decided that he's going to get even with Donald Trump. He's going to totally, completely corrupt the Justice Department, which he has. It is corrupted, okay? And so here he goes and says that White House worked directly with DOJ and National Archives to investigate criminal investigations into legitimate President Donald Trump's handling of the documents. And so the Biden White House worked directly with the Justice Department and National Archives to facilitate the investigation to Trump's handling of the documents, according to the memos reviewed by investigative reporter John Solomon. Well, Solomon's got a very good reputation for being accurate.
Excellent reputation. He has been right more often than anybody I can think of.
Joe Biden's spokeswoman has repeatedly claimed that Joe had no knowledge at all, none at all, of the raid, and that he found out about it in the media. According to the memos, Biden White House investigated the criminal investigation by eliminating Trump's claim to executive privilege. The decision to waive Trump's Biden has no right to do that. He does. He can't. He has no legal authority to do that. Okay. The whole Biden crime cartel is nothing but a crime cartel. The decision to waive Trump's executive privilege opened the door for the DOJ to issue Trump a subpoena to turn over documents stored at Mar-a-Lago. The subpoena ultimately led to the raid on the legitimate president of the United States, Trump's Florida residence, in which, hey, you know what? Those were the same, the Dirty 30, Joe, the Dirty 30, the very same ones that were involved in what took place, the false flag event on January 6th, the same Dirty 30 that were involved in that fake thing out in Michigan with the kidnapping of Whitmer. They're the very same Dirty 30. It's like a special dirty unit, dirty cop unit, and they sent them to Mar-a-Lago. And so there you go.
That was the same absolute group. We talked about that the other night. There's whistleblowers now. I think it's up to about 14 that have come out of the FBI and are talking about how corrupt that the FBI, in fact, headlines out of a World News Daily article, completely out of control, FBI whistleblowers sound alarm on massive corruption. And they talk about, this is out of the Washington Times, FBI whistleblowers have accused managers in multiple field offices of corruption, cover-up, retaliation. Current former leaders they're in D.C., Miami, Salt Lake City, Buffalo, New York, Newark, New Jersey are facing these whistleblower complaints. Claims our supervisors coerced agents into signing false documents, fabricating terrorist claims to pump up their performance stats, sexually harassing female agents, engaging in sex with subordinates, crashing vehicles. One female agent who has charged Christopher Way and others with ignoring her claims said the Bureau works like a mob-like mentality. So it goes on and on and on about things that are people coming up, and they've finally gone to the congressman. And Jim Jordan has now 14 who have contacted him and are willing to testify when he has a hearing.
Well, again,
that doesn't sound good.
No, and the people are saying that the corruption has gotten too deep, so deep within it, that it's not just several layers at the top, that it's gotten down so deep that the whole department should be defunded and done away with, because the corruption is. Many believe that it can't be repaired. It can't be undone now. But anyhow, this just came in. This is interesting because what I just said here, Alan Dershowitz, clearly wrong. Biden White House should not be able to waive executive privilege of Donald Trump. And he goes on to say that Fox News legal expert Greg Jarrett accused Attorney General Merrick Garland of continuing to cover up the unprecedented and abusive raid on the legitimate president of the United States home at Mar-a-Lago. Now, we know that the Biden White House worked directly with the Justice Department and National Archives to facilitate the investigation into the Trump's handling of the documents that President Trump legally declassified and took with him when he left the White House in January 2021. According to Just the News, Joe Biden's spokeswoman has repeatedly claimed Joe Biden had no knowledge of the raid. That's what we just read. This interesting right. that this would come in right after we did that. Okay.
The Epoch Times has a big story on it, dated August 23rd. Oh, that's today. That's pretty current. And it said the White House Counsel's Office sent the request to the National Archives Records Administration in April, you know, asking and affirming a request to, for the FBI that, you know, to go ahead and get these records. So it's now out in the press, and it's been validated by Just the News and a couple other organizations. So we have it current. You can go to the Epoc Times, or you can go to Just the News, and you will be able to read the whole thing. It's a long article.
Okay. It's an interesting thing. Steve Bannon is firing back. In fact, we have this clip. It's a very short clip, but it's Steve Bannon is firing a warning shot at Attorney General Merrick Garland on Tuesday. He was saying that Bannon, that you're going to prison, Merrick Garland, you're going to prison. And people say, well, why aren't the Democrats, why aren't the Communist Party, why don't they seem more shook up? They don't intend on having an election.
No.
Again, this is what we've been telling people. They're working right now hard to stop it. They're going to be some really dirty things happening. We got to be prepared for it. And so, but they're going to be coming at you with everything. First of all, if there is an election, they're going to try to do like they did last time with election fraud. The high-tech boys have already said they're gearing up to flip the election again. Okay, I mean, they've come right out and said it.
We've talked about Facebook and Twitter already canceling anybody that speaks up about the election or possible fraud or brings up anything about the 2020 election not being, absolutely perfect and wonderful. So we can see they're starting the same things they did. Zuckerberg got his organization. They're not spending as much, the $400 million like they did last time, but they're spending money and doing some of the same things they did last time, and nobody's stopping them. And we know the post office has just put in a new U.S. post office has announced a new election and government mail services division to be set up to expedite all those mail-in ballots to get them in quicker and faster. So, I mean, they're doing the same stuff that they did last time. They've changed a few names, but it's the same group doing the same thing.
Yeah. Now, here's something that's interesting. Because based on, and this is another one by the guy you just heard, Joe Hoft, corrupt, remember Amy Berman Jackson's ruling on Bill Clinton's case? This is an avid anti-Trumper, an anti-Christian. And she's the one that tried to torture Paul Manafort and Roger Stone. I mean, this woman is evil, wicked to the bone, wicked. Now, here, what she did, she ruled on Bill Clinton's case. The FBI broke the law when it stole President Trump's documents. So here, in other words, the way she ruled on Bill Clinton's case would mean, and let me just read it here. We reported on corrupt Amy Berman Jackson during President Trump's administration. She literally tortured Paul Manafort by putting him in a solitary confinement for minor tax items and FARA abuse. Tax issues are normally dealt with by a fine or a payment, and FARA forms not being filled out almost never reached a court. But Judge Jackson used this to literally torture Manafort in prison. After Manafort, Judge Amy Barrett Jackson went after Roger Stone and abused him as well in her kangaroo court. So we wrote about this extensively. Tucker Carlson even noticed the corrupt ways of Judge Jackson. She's corrupt. She's out of control, said Tucker Carlson. And he calls for the demon judge. Well, he's right. The demon judge Amy Berman Jackson to be impeached, which she, again, she's very extremely anti-God, anti-Christian. But Judge Jackson isn't always like this. In a case she overturned against against the Clintons, Judge Jackson ruled very favorably for the Clintons. This, however, is now reason to classify FBI's raid on Mar-a-Lago as a crime. You see, the very same thing. It's when they took Clinton's. She ruled the FBI had committed a crime by going in and getting a hold of Clinton's documents. But now it's a whole different story because it's Trump, huh? So
yeah, that changes everything. Change the name and the world goes crazy, really, over that name.
Yep.
Well, you know who hates Trump probably as much as anybody? A man named McConnell. Remember Senator Mitch McConnell?
Yeah,
this
Mitch
is
McConnell.
That treason deep from within. We've got what? We're a 50-50 Senate right now. We're a totally divided nation. And McConnell was asked some questions, and he said, I think there's probably a greater likelihood that the House flips rather than the Senate. Senate races are just different. He said candidate quality has a lot to do with the outcome. They're statewide. Right now we have a 50-50 Senate and a 50-50 country. But I think when all is said and done this fall, we're likely to have an extremely close Senate, either our side up slightly or their side up slightly. Here is, we have a chance. All we have to do is change one or two Senate seats, and we can stop all this garbage that's going on, have veto power over Biden's, you know, legislative agendas and his picks for administrative offices, judgeships, all of this. And yet, what's he doing? He's backing, like, Lisa Murkowski. She's a rhino. She's a Democrat and Republican name only. He's pushing a lot of the rhinos and not backing the conservatives and the whole thing. I think he hates Trump. And the other thing, even if we lose the Senate again, he's still the minority leader. He still leads the Senate. And I think he's been there so long, been in that leadership position, he cannot give it up. It doesn't care if we lose the country, we lose the election, as long as Mitch McConnell, oh, and his wife, who her family is deep into China, trying to think, what is it, shipping. That's a shipping company that transports a lot of material to and from. And one of the government watchdogs has alleged that she's used her office as the transportation secretary and resources to promote and support her businesses and her position, of course, working with the Chinese. So here we have corruption in the Republican leadership. They're helping, trying to get rhinos elected instead of people that will follow Trump's agenda, America First. So our biggest problem, first off, is the enemy within.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That article you were talking about, Democrats planning to steal the midterms, Biden regime partners with communist China-based TikTok ahead of crucial elections. Okay, that's an article by J.D. Hayes. You know, when we come up, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back from that break, I'm going to, when we come back from the break, we're going to find out who Dennis Montgomery is. Hmm. Do you remember Dennis Montgomery? Well, he kind of really upset the apple cart with the very, very corrupt CIA and the FBI. And so we're going to take a good look at that. And then we're going to cover this other article, too, by J.D. Hayes. The Biden regime, did you say 30? Well, okay. The Biden regime and the fellow Democrats, along with their lamestream media. We're going to take a look at that, lapdogs. All right, we will be back. All right, right after this break. And the break's coming up now. And we're counting it down to about two. Ready? One.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.